Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
How long gone? Okay.
How long gone? Live from one of the weirdest rooms I've ever been in a Tuscan villa. It has a kind of 2013 style cuddle puddle teepee. I don't even know if I'm allowed to say that.
It's an AAPI yurt.
Okay.
No, it's a native. Actually, them jeans is like 15% Native American. So, and I don't take advantage of that.
So you could sit in there. I can't sit in there.
I went to USC and I paid out of my own pocket. I didn't get any help from no sponsorships, no scholarships, no
native funds. I like calling a scholarship a sponsorship. That's a better way to put it.
I mean, what is a sponsorship if not a scholarship for scholars?
When I think of sponsorship, I think of scholars. That's what I. That's the first.
Yeah,
thing
I'm sitting next to a tent. Yeah, so we're. First of all, apologize if there's a reverberated echo. We are in a giant room. Basement of it's a villa.
We're in a cavernous basement.
A villa is like a big house.
We're in like a little playpen. And I said to Jason, this room is meant to appeal to children or drunk adults by the furnishings.
Yeah, it's there's just weird furniture. You know what it looks like? It looks like a green room in Burning Man.
Wow, great description. Yeah, because there is some rattan furniture as well as the teepee, as well as some other sort of kind of. Medieval style looking torture area.
Yeah, like we were just if when DJ Python plays an event in like Chile,
this is it.
And then like the weird intern has to set up the backstage area to like be cool and diferente. This is what happens.
But it is honestly though, looking around, I'm like, what? Like, where did you find this? Some of the, like these tables, these low tables. Like, where did you find that? What is that made of? How did you get six of them?
It's like a natural history museum, but but it's also like kind of nice. Like
it's
not
a natural
shitty.
History museum if it was like a world market kind of vibe.
Cost plus,
yeah,
world
yeah.
market.
Cost plus world market is the interior designer.
Yeah, so we're here in Italy in Toscana. I'm getting married in 4 hours. And for some reason, now is when I do podcasts.
Jason's been stressed out, and I actually think that doing this podcast is going to help kind of relieve tensions.
This is my clarity. This is my therapy. This is what I needed to do to get into the right mindset. I've been in DJ mode for the last week or two.
So, yeah, because we've talked about this on the show about your genius idea to make a mix for your own wedding that's 4 hours long.
I can't DJ my own wedding. And I can't afford a DJ. I was telling my mom this. She's like, she was looking at me on the laptop, just like stressing out. Like, I have to change the EQ on this Smith song because it blah, blah, blah. And she's like, do you think you should have hired a DJ to do this instead of yourself? And I was like, do you have $50,000 to pay for it? Because that's how much a DJ better than me is going to cost. And she's like, oh, Jason, you're so crazy. Anyway, see you later.
You are so crazy. I do think that I think you may have bitten off more than you could chew, but you did finish it at the last minute. And I watched the completion. I heard a little preview.
Like you said before, DJ gets it done. It ain't pretty. No one's happy about it. All the hearts are broken. Everything sucks.
TJ, do get it done.
But I did get it done.
Do you feel like that you have all of kind of the music represented that you want to kind of encapsulate not only yourself and your partner, but your relationship?
Them jeans, this is your life.mp3. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck yeah, bro. One for you, one for them, one for everyone.
I feel like you weren't able to add in maybe some of the more electronic elements because no one actually wants that. Is that fair?
That's not fair. Okay. That electronic elements are added.
Okay.
There's like, multiple movements.
Okay, so we're going through all of the genres. Kind of, it's going to be a trip through genres.
It's music for old people. It's mm-hmm. music for young people.
Mm-hmm.
Music for white people. Music for people of color.
They're
all rolled into one. Well, actually, all rolled into two files because the mix is so long that I had to separate it in two files. Thanks, Ableton.
Wow, Ableton put a governor on you?
Even if I export it and bounce it as an MP3, sorry, ladies. I'm talking shop right now. But yeah, it was just so long, she wouldn't take.
Damn, bro. Get your mind out of the gutter.
Yeah. More than the tip, but not the whole thing.
Yeah, I've been in Italy. We're doing a 72-hour kind of trip. And it is putting kind of a hurting on me, but I was able to do a Kirsty Godso Nike Training Club workout in the grass this morning, and a lot of people saw me, which I wasn't super into, but I had to go into a spot that was in the sun for maximum sweat, but also close enough to the house where the Wi-Fi would connect so I could stream the workout.
Oh, geez.
So unfortunately, it was kind of front and center, and I think some of the Italian workmen mm-hmm. on the property...
the local boys.
I think they were driving their tractor and maybe laughing at me a little bit, but they also could have been on Chubb.
They could have been jealous.
They might want to go call me by your name mode, and I'm not. I'm not really interested in that with those kind of fellas.
They're gonna walk. They're driving their cart by, and it's full of like hay and yeah. and like leaf blowers, and they go, Godso, Kirsty Godso, workout numero two, body wear only, Kirsty Godso, ciao Godso.
They were feeding the horses, taking peeks at me, doing some spicy ab workouts.
Oh, yeah. I saw you were doing some body weight hip thrusters.
Yeah, we're doing some hip thrusters at the end of the workout, which I actually have a tough time with sometimes. My hamstrings get locked up.
Yeah.
You know?
Your hip flexors do need work. And mine do, too.
Everybody. I'm just saying that. But yeah, we're in Italy. The weather's been pretty good. We're in a small town that is full of bad restaurants.
Oh, really? We went to one restaurant. It was pretty good.
We went to two restaurants, and the second one was so bad that almost negates the first.
You guys are just bad at picking.
I mean, they literally all look the same, and the two that looked better that had people in them,
mm-hmm.
they were fully committed.
We're fully committed.
Yeah.
I just walk around. I follow my nose like a cartoon.
So on the way here...
Where's the peachy?
On the way here, I gave my Delta One seat to Alex, so I was in premium select, whatever the fake Delta One is, where the seat goes back three-quarters of the way.
Here's your crown, King. You drop this.
And I was sitting between two couples. Mm-hmm. I was like two, me, two. Like three, you know what I mean? Then I'm on like three, then two, but I'm on mm-hmm. the aisle. So I'm in between
these two.
I'm in between these two dorky ass couples, both dork ass couples.
Ugh.
And they're both
dorks
kind of
on a plane, the worst.
Trying, they're like looking at the menu for real. You know what I mean? Like really deciding what to eat of this nasty plane food, like it matters.
But you're not sitting in first class, so the menu is like protein box.
No. Weird. Premium Select Europe has like they don't have a Sunday cart, but they do have kind of a regular.
I had a Sunday cart.
But they both keep kind of like not subtly letting the staff know that it's their honeymoon.
Oh.
You know, and they've also done this thing that I love to see because I've made this mistake maybe once in my life and never again. They bought some gadgets on Amazon that they think is going to help them sleep on the plane.
Yeah, I did too. It's called Xanax.
Yeah, they know.
I brought it from a drug dealer.
They weren't smart enough to buy Xanax in Pasadena. They bought some gadgets on Amazon that kind of like, you know, like, oh, if you put this on your face, it'll prop your neck up perfectly so that you sleep the whole time.
Yeah.
But the other strange part about these two couples who were really thirsty for free champagne, which they would probably give them anyway,
yeah.
is that they were both going to Italy, both males in the couples watching the Stanley Tucci Italian eating food show.
You gotta do your homework, get in the mood.
Felt like a little last minute to me, a little cramming for the exam. But I was like,
I mean, if you're going to Italy and you're scrolling through what to watch and it's like it's a big red button saying press me.
I disagree. I
feel compared like to John Wick 4.
I feel like it's on the two on the nose. I wouldn't want to get caught doing that is all I'm saying.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I guess it is too on the nose.
Another,
it's too cliche to watch Tucci.
Trend I've noticed in the travel space.
That Stanley Tucci, come out, challenge. We're ready for you whenever. Andy Cohen knows something.
I think Stanley Tucci is he married?
I don't know. Maybe.
I bet he's married to a woman, and I bet if we looked at that woman, that would reveal if he's straight or gay.
I'm pretty positive he's married to a woman, yeah.
No, but I'm saying that...
But, yeah, you could take a look at the gal and we could kind of check for some stubble on that beard. Is that what you're saying?
No, I wasn't saying that.
We'll get Andy Cohen to give her a little inspection.
I'm sure Andy's tried. I'm sure a handful of fellas have tried.
Andy's going to put the stethoscope on, hold it up.
Oh, that heart's ticking.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Jason, we all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on. You're eating at restaurants you don't want to eat at all the time to appease myself and others.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to your health, there's no compromise. So don't go back to that one doctor who used your appointment to catch up on the latest headlines, their family group chat, their crossword puzzles, just because they're available right now or because they take your slightly sketchy insurance. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable, listen to you, and prioritize your health. And you can search by location, availability, and insurance, so literally no compromises here, because with ZocDoc, you've got more options than you know.
ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors very close to you and instantly book appointments with them online. Just like when I'm looking for new shoes on my sites, you can filter specifically, see which doctors take your insurance, located near you, maybe find a doctor that's far away from you for personal reasons you don't want to disclose.
I use ZocDoc, and you should too.
Go to ZocDoc.com/howlong and download ZocDoc for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/howlong. ZocDoc.com/howlong.
Another travel trend that I've seen that I wanted to discuss with you is this, I've seen this in New York and I've also seen this here, is a new thing where people have decided to not use their phones for maps and they're bringing out the old school paper. I've seen it a lot in New York, a lot.
In New York?
A lot. And I'm just thinking, because I, as a person...
That's like vinyl.
That's what I'm saying though. I'm like, is this a trend going back to the days where we didn't have this available and we want to focus?
For living a digital free, yeah. I mean, that's why I bought a watch.
Yeah, that's definitely why you bought that watch. Yeah, so you could kind of leave your phone at home, and when you're picking up dog shit, you know what time it is.
Yeah, I live my life in airplane mode. I only turn off airplane mode if it's an emergency.
If it's an emergency.
Like but otherwise, the frequencies, they mess up my chakra.
But it's interesting because I feel like the prices for cellular telephone service while traveling are probably lower than they ever have been.
Yeah, for sure.
You know? But that the I thought of
yeah,
buying
back in the old like literally back in the old days when I would go international, I would just roam the whole time.
Yeah, same. I've gotten
I would just
insane.
Never use my phone. And now it's $10 a day. Whatever.
Oh, I would use it like regular. I would just be like, I'm gonna pay a stack.
I would go to another country and be in airplane mode for a week. And then if I'm at the hotel, then yeah. I would use a Wi-Fi, but that's it.
No, I would just blow money to be connected because if I don't check my mentions, I could crumble. But the thought of pulling out like the MapQuest printed out directions,
right?
It just seems crazy. It seems inefficient.
Oh, it's very inefficient.
But my point is, I don't
and
think
also,
it's about money.
I like to go paperless. It doesn't seem very environmental.
I don't. Yeah, much like Natalie Portman's wife, you care about the environment. Natalie Portman's husband, you care about the environment.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's more of a signal mm-hmm. than it is a function. I think they want you to know that they're not using their phone and they're kind of earthing and connecting with the city in a way that maybe we're not.
I'm analog. I'm not tethered to my electronic device.
Yeah.
I mean, but is it really, is it like pulling out the giant folded map, you know, and holding it up on the middle of Times Square? Like, all right, make a left on Broadway here. Okay. Yeah.
No, that's definitely, that. I see it. I'm not exaggerating, once a day minimum.
I guess we've truly come full circle, because that's the thing that we talk, I mean, not we, but just every once in a while you talk about whenever, like when we're driving through Tuscany and I'm looking at my Waze and I'm like, if I did not have this, how fucked I would be. And we're just imagining, like, what was it like when you're driving around here in the 50s or the 60s, mm-hmm. and it's just, you know, 700 single lane winding roads, no signs, no anything, and people would actually get around. And you would, and Carolyn was like, yeah, you drive, you see somebody on the side of the road, you pull over, you mm. ask them for directions, somebody helps you.
Can you imagine talking to a stranger not being afraid of getting murdered?
I mean, it's crazy how it happened. And also, we're old enough to where when we first started driving, I would print out the MapQuest.
Yeah, printing out MapQuest was a big part of my like high school.
And printing out the MapQuest was like, you felt like you had, that felt like virtual reality. That felt like 5G technology. No, like, totally. I'm living in the future.
I hope those MapQuest guys got their little check.
I mean,
who do you think they sold MapQuest to?
Yahoo?
Maybe? I bet MapQuest is still, I bet we could go to MapQuest right now and it probably works the exact same way.
Damn, interesting. I never even thought, we have to support our elders.
Yeah, our tech.
Respect our elders.
Our tech elders. But yeah, I'm happy to be here. I did do kind of an intense trail run yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I was
trekked.
I gave myself up to my leader, Nargis, one of Carolyn's longtime friends, who had a app that I guess probably some of you more crunchy folks familiar with, that allows you to see the trails.
All trails?
Which everybody seems to know except me, because I'm not a narc.
Mm-hmm.
And
like I've never used it, but I get emails everyone like
I'd never heard of it. Everybody looked at me like I was crazy. I'm like, why the fuck would I know this? Like, I use Google Maps, bro. Mm-hmm. I'm good. But we went onto an Italian trail and I had to kind of like, I was out of my comfort zone.
Okay.
It was not the kind of running I like to do. It was more of scrambling, you know, with some steep uphill climbs. The elevation was intense.
And you didn't have the right footwear probably, right?
I'm not super mad at my footwear, but I would have preferred to have my District Vision Salomon trail shoes.
That would have been
just
great.
For the grip, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? Because I the thought of like kind of tumbling down a hill is not the best.
Oh, that'd be
but
awful.
I don't exercise with people because except Hunter, because I hate it, especially running. Like, I don't like that.
Yeah, awful.
But Nargis and I locked in and we did the thing that I see people do so often, like a teenager with their parents. We just both had our AirPods in and we're listening to our own music and running together.
How did that feel?
It was honestly hard enough where it was.
I think that's the key factor. Yeah. It has to be something where you can't talk.
Yeah. Well, if you're
hiking and you're listening to music, you know, like walking Griffith Park or whatever.
Yeah, you're fine.
That's psychotic behavior.
But I think.
But if you're running up a hill and you can't be like, so what are you guys doing for lunch?
That's what people. But that's the thing, when you see people talking on the phone when they're running on the street, mm-hmm. I'm like, you're not running. Same thing with people who run with dogs. You ain't running, bro.
Mm, interesting.
That ain't running.
No. Well, if your dog is in good shape. There's a guy who lives in my neighborhood who runs with two dogs, and they haul ass. They're in 1, 2, and 3.
I respect it. I respect it. Just like running with a baby carriage, I respect it, but we can't call that. No. It ain't the same.
No, no,
player,
no.
We ain't the same.
That's the only reason why you don't have kids.
But I'm feeling, that's not the only reason, they're nasty. But I have some ankle issues today. I mean, I'm feeling, not issues, but I just feel like I worked some muscles that I hadn't worked in a while because mm-hmm. of the elevation up and down. I was having to brace using my quads and maybe my ankles, which is not good.
You going to be able to dance later tonight at the wedding?
I think I'll be okay. I mean, I don't know. This playlist doesn't really sound like it's for me, but.
I don't know what playlist would be for you. I don't think any playlist is for you.
Are you saying?
Even if you made it, it still wouldn't be for you.
I made this playlist, but I kind of hate it.
That's,
I don't know.
That's how much of a player hater you are.
No, no, I'm not a player hater. But I want to talk about the Zaza party we had last night.
Yeah. Well, it's the welcome dinner.
Actually, hold on. We should talk about night one. We went to the local town square
mm-hmm.
to a mixology lounge.
Aperitivo.
That you had found. Jason had used his
happy hour.
His telephone to find a cool, kind of under the radar, like kind of, I don't know, man. I don't want to call it a speakeasy, but it kind of had that energy.
Mm-hmm.
An Italian speakeasy full of young hotties that were wearing trendy clothing.
If you know, you know.
But it was more like us just sitting out in a square, which was very nice because the weather was great.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a band.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, oh, look at these fucking Italian guys. They're warming up. You know, this is going to be good.
And the band was a guy with an acoustic guitar and then a guy with a tambourine.
And an electric guitar, though. There was acoustic, okay, electric. So
it was a two-piece outfit.
They're warming up a little bit. And we're kind of, I'm like, wait a second. This sounds familiar. And your brother, who's got great taste in music, unlike you, is like, damn, that's the Verve. And I was like, you're right. It is the Verve. Then they keep sound checking.
Horny.
And it's Oasis. So I have to approach the bench, obviously, and kind of kick the tires on these guys.
Mm-hmm. You gave him not a red card. You gave him a green card.
I gave him a green card.
Sir.
I said, go. So I walked up to the threesome, and I started talking to these guys. I'm like, what's going on? And then all four of us have Oasis tattoos. And we begin to share with each other and bond.
We begin to kiss.
But the singer, the faux Liam, who had the white tambourine behind the back, like full, it's not like they weren't covering. They were like mimicking.
Cosplay.
Yes, exactly. There's only one word for it. And he had on his bicep, he had Slide Away, great Oasis song, mm-hmm, in a very bad kind of
course
cursive font. Mm-hmm. But then pictured with the Slide Away text was a pretty good tattoo version of the Gibson hollow body,
mm-hmm,
British flag,
yeah,
that Noel is known to play. And I thought that was a nice touch.
The Union Jack Gibson. I think it's a 335.
It might be an Epiphone.
No.
I really think it is.
Well, Epiphone is the broke boy version of Gibson.
I know, but I feel like...
But it could... Maybe it is.
I feel like for some reason, he like thought that was cooler, you know? And like...
I actually have one of those in my garage right now. I've got an Epiphone Burgundy hollow body 335.
Can I ask, did someone lose a bet or something? Did you have to take someone's property?
This is when I was in my Godspeed You Black Emperor era, and I needed both... acoustic and, you know, I'm a bigger guy.
No, I don't know. I didn't. First of all, I didn't know you. I didn't know you ever had a Godspeed You Black Emperor.
Oh yeah.
Era. I mean, we all liked the band.
No, we did not. Many people did not.
I guess people listening to this podcast might not. But if for those who aren't familiar with Godspeed You Black Emperor, legendary underground artist, could you kind of give the Cliff's notes on their sound?
Yeah, they're like a Canadian band. That was around when like Sigur Rós was happening, yeah, and then
and before that was like big when I was in high school.
Explosions in the Sky,
yeah,
and it was there's like a very kind of symphonic, orchestral, mm-hmm, brooding indie rock kind of thing going on where there would be a full regular band, guitars, bass, drums, but it would have like strings and horns, mm-hmm, and harps and weird found sounds and. It was like a big kind of dramatic orchestral soundscape, but indie rock vibes, and they were really popular for a while, like early mid 2000s.
Yeah, I feel like they were. I feel like it was kind of like a thinking man's "I Wear All Black" kind of band. You know, like your smartest barista was playing that during his shift.
Yeah, they were doomed to succeed because. You know, it was like an 18-piece band or something like that.
Yeah,
so they even at their peak, everyone's making $300 a night.
You think Brockhampton would have learned something from Godspeed You Black Emperor, but I guess they weren't paying attention.
Godspeed walked so Brock could break up.
Yeah. I think that I didn't know, but I guess I didn't know you tried to make music like them or you were inspired by them. So you
I would always play guitar when I was like a teen and I would learn, you know, just whatever songs that I liked playing, and I wasn't even into like hardcore, but it was sort of like post hardcore when I started listening to like Portishead and like, okay, that type of music more, and then I first started getting into DJing like, kind of through the Portishead vibe. So that was like basically when Portishead came out, I was like, oh, this is like.
So you were scratching on some friends' albums, and then you kind of got into DJing.
So like the guy who would sell us weed. When we were 19-year-old teenagers in 18, 19 in Orange County, he would be a DJ and he would like scratch and he would be like, all right, you play drums, you play bass, you play guitar. And we just kind of go, and I have my guitar and I'm like, how about boom?
How about this?
Sing. And then the Asian homie's like,
so you're saying that.
And then we take a break. and hit the bubbler again and be like, damn, bro, we smacked. When do you, should we book studio time soon, or how do we want to do this?
So was this before or after? Did you inspire Linkin Park, or were you inspired by Linkin Park? That's the question.
This was pre Linkin Park, and I've never been inspired by Linkin Park, and vice versa.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
No.
I wouldn't want to offend you, but I, you know, it's they're from a similar kind of background.
No. I always hated Linkin Park.
Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure.
Still do.
I didn't. This is pretty good information about you. I didn't know. I mean, I knew you were a Godspeed fan because I just assumed, because I think we all were. If you had any sort of taste during that period, it was cool. It was also pretty cool to like them.
Yeah. I feel like I was kind of on the younger end of it, and I would, you know, it's like, it's music for like people who were like super depressed and like, you know, crushed up and snorted pills, you know. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like that.
I know. I think they're back together. I think they play shows. They're still playing. I wonder if they've.
When we went to go see the Strokes and at a festival in Pasadena months ago, I was looking at the lineup on the main stage. The Strokes were playing, and then on the second stage, Godspeed was playing, and I was doing the looking back and forth meme of like, mm-hmm. which one do I go to, and then Carolyn, of course, was like, fuck you, we're going to see the Strokes. Mm-hmm. And then Julian Casablancas gets on the mic, and he can see over the crowd of 50,000 people to stage two. And he's like, hey, guys, thanks for watching me. But, you know, if I was you, I would be watching Godspeed You Black Emperor right now, not me.
That's his version of Macklemore sending the text to Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah. No, you the real OG.
Nah, honestly, like, I'm cool, but you should have taken this home.
But I mean, if I was Julian Casablancas and my band was playing during Godspeed You Black Emperor, I would feel embarrassed.
Really?
Yeah, I would be like, I mean, I'm glad I'm making all this money and making all these people happy, but if something, you know, if something is better than you, or I mean, they're not better, it's just different. But if like I respect you more than I respect me, and you're doing worse in life,
you're struggling, and I'm
doing whatever the fuck I want, there's like a weird feeling going on there.
That's probably true. I'm sure that, yeah, that makes, I mean, I don't know who billed Godspeed You Black Emperor at the same time as the Strokes, but
there's, you know, when you have 50 bands on a lineup and you got to divvy it up, you know, cuts got to get made. It just is what it is.
Damn, I wonder.
Which is a fun game to play. I like doing that.
Yeah. You should try to work at Golden Voice. I bet it'd go really well for you.
The offer's still on the table.
For you to kind of get a full-time position as...
Oh, yeah.
What do you think you'd be focused on?
Telling them who not to book.
Okay. Do you think... I think there's so many festivals that they have to book everyone. I don't think there's any... when I look at festival lineups now, I feel like it's just like, all right, well, we got a lot of time to kill, so we got to fill this thing up.
You know what? Here's what I want my job to be. And I know Golden Voice is listening. I love my GV team. You guys are rock stars. Here's what you do. You guys book a band and you send them an offer, and then I come in and say, I can get them for this. Mm-hmm. And then if I can get them for that, we split the difference.
Great idea.
So they're like, hey, we got Azealia Banks. We booked her for 80K. I'll be like, I'll DM this hoe. I'll get her for 55. We split the difference. I keep it. You keep the other half. Hunky dory.
That's a great idea. Azalea's had a big week.
Oh, my bae.
I mean,
what? She's the best.
I want to get her
on this podcast so damn bad, but she won't do it.
If one of us were Jewish, you think she would do it?
I know. That's true.
That's kind of her thing.
If anyone can use AI technology to make me look like I have an uncircumcised dick, and then I could send that photo to her. God, I hope my mom's not listening to this episode.
I think that Azealia is, I think she, much like Joe Budden, she's kind of better off as a broadcaster versus an artist. You know?
Well,
like I want somebody to offer her.
Much like Joe Budden, but less, because... I think they both have one hit song, but I think Azealia has more cool songs in the B-sides and rarities.
I don't think anybody gives a single shit about her music. I think she's so funny and so compelling. She has to have some reason to be around.
Yeah, but her one song is special and unique, and it is worthy of...
Are you saying 212 is better than Pump It Up? Because that's crazy.
Of course.
That's crazy, bro.
Pump It Up is music for like middle schooler. It's a rudimentary brain in terms
bro,
of lyricism.
Bro, I know you like 212, but don't act like it's some fucking, it ain't a masterpiece. It's like a good song.
Oh, it's not a masterpiece. I don't even like the song. I've never played the song in my life, but I'm saying her style of choosing which words to go in where and how they are said is something that is unique only to her, whereas Joe Budden,
are you saying,
is pump, just like music pump, for pump. People in juvenile hall to like, you know.
I'm sorry that you're not tapped in with the streets, but I mean, you know what I mean? Like juvenile hall is basically jail. Don't forget that.
I'm aware of that. It's okay. Juvenile hall is jail for people who are young.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
And you're younger, your brain is not as good as when you're older, and that's why I said juvenile hall.
Okay.
I'm saying she has a unique gift.
Yeah,
whereas Joe Budden is sort of interchangeable with any dum-dum on the planet. Only musically, of course.
But
his
I'm
ability
saying
to
you
speak.
That if Azalea was given the opportunity to do something like Joe, I think she would be a real superstar. Like she should be Wendy Williams.
Of course.
Like that's what she should be doing. She's like so good. And
but
so
she's
cool.
Lightning in a bottle, but the bottle can't hold her. Bottle keep breaking.
Well, I think she also will sabotage any opportunity she's given.
Yeah. And that's why we like her. Because she's an uncontrollable, she's a forest fire.
That's
that
true.
you can't hose it down. You just have to sit there and hope that it don't burn you.
No,
and when it burns other people's houses, it's so fun to watch.
No, that's a good way to put it. I agree.
But she's so good that it would be an honor to have her read me down, you know what I mean?
Read
me like the Bible.
I would love for her to shit all over me. Not
yeah, if she read me and said like this guy smells like cheese or whatever she's gonna say, like I'll get that tatted on me, you know what I mean?
I just like that she said that about Maddie, and like I just can't even, can you imagine who she's dated? Can you imagine her body, like who we're talking about? I can't even imagine.
I only know Ryder Rips, but there's got to be other people.
Yeah, but I feel like there's plenty of guys that are a little more off the, you know, under the radar.
Oh, of course.
That could smell like cheese.
There's many retail employees who have tapped that ass one too many times.
But I think it's great when she, I just like when she gets involved in full on kind of like zeitgeist pop culture stories. Like this is not niche. This is Taylor Swift.
Mm-hmm.
So that it's just insane to watch like really normal news outlets try to explain what Azalea Banks said about something in a way that feels like news when what she's saying is so insane.
Uh-huh.
That it's like 212 rapper Azalea Banks weighs in on Taylor Swift and Maddie Healy, and then it's like, he smelled like cheese, you can do better, go fuck this. It's just insane.
Yeah.
It's just insane.
There's no way to explain. Man, that's the beauty of it, is most people look at it and are like, I don't get this, what's happening? But then, you know, the mentally disturbed people and the gays are reading it and like, this is so especiale.
It is especiale.
It's so unique. We have to protect her.
I mean, I think
I want to sponsor Banks.
I think
Azalea Banks, not Banks.
Azalea Banks, what's your Cash App? Jason wants to bang you off a couple hundred. Just
Banks
to be
is
nice.
Doing just fine from her BetterHelp posts.
I forgot she's a BetterHelp family member.
That's right.
That was a couple years ago. I bet she spent that money. She got the new. She got the new BMW. She got the M series.
I spent the BetterHelp money at Maru. Blew it. Blew it all on matcha. Yeah. So I was in Italy a few days before we went to Rome. Ate me some pasta. I met a grandma at a restaurant who, she was like, yeah, I came here with my husband, but he's chilling right now. He's not feeling so good. So I'm just eating at this restaurant alone. I found out about it from Katie Parla. Previous How Long Gone guest. I was like, oh, I know that chick. And I sent Katie a selfie of me and the grandma. And she meant she's 68 years old. She's like 4'11", something like that. And she's like, yeah, I can deadlift 250 pounds. I'm here. Like, you know, my husband's doing a 500 mile walk through Europe. And then we're doing a 900 mile bike ride in Asia next year. She was a true inspiration, but
retirement sounded good when I hear people like this.
Yeah, and I was like, so what do you guys do? And she's like, well, my husband's in finance, so I'm kind of retired. Like, we have a new girl who's going to run the books, and I'm kind of like switching over right now. But I told her, like, listen to the podcast, and she subscribed on the restaurant. So hopefully she's listening.
There's nothing
to this
better
right
than
now.
When someone asks about How Long Gone, and you tell them, and they literally pull it up and subscribe on site, and you're like, all right, well,
her and I were homies. She's like, yeah, I'm a foodie, you know, I listen to a lot of podcasts. She's like, I listen to David Chang's podcast. I'm like,
you can do a little better. Check out How Long Gone.
Well, it's perfect. Meanwhile, but she said she lives in Eugene, Oregon, and so like working in finance, paid as a motherfucker, living in Eugene, all you got to do is like mountain bike. Seems like a nice little way to wind the gears down, right?
It does. Well, yeah, no pun intended.
Smoking on that loud, no sales tax.
I don't think, Antifa. I don't think there's much going on in Eugene except the outdoors, so that it tracks that she's a walker and a biker.
Yeah, fly fish.
It's also where track and field was born, you know?
I didn't know that.
Well, Eugene is like where the serious runner like comes from because of Nike.
Okay, that does make sense. I was we went to Hotel Il Pelicano, which is like a beautiful, expensive ass resort hotel on a little island, kind of in Italy. I didn't realize that it just means the Pelican Hotel. It just sounds it sounds so cool.
Cooler.
I just didn't even put it together. It's like Hotel Il Pelicano, and I'm like, oh, this is a fancy schmancy. You get there, and there's like Pelican.
Duh, Pelican.
I'm like, oh, if I was in fucking Denver, Colorado, and welcome to the Pelican Hotel, I'd be like, what else?
Not
we got?
Hitting the same. How did you fit in over there? Was it your peeps?
It was absolutely not my peeps. The only peeps I related to were like the staff, because we were the only people there who were like tatted up.
Oh, so you're saying you and the Italian staff members were yatted, and everybody else was kind of keeping it clean?
Yeah, but they had to hide it, you know.
Oh, really?
Well. If somebody had like a little kind of thingy here and there, it's not a big deal. But you know, if you had like a bunch of tattoos on your legs, then you'd the women would wear like pantyhose to kind of cover them.
If you got the Italian leg sleeve, your skin tight knee length jorts have to go down to the ankle. Actually,
if you're sleeved up, you have to wear a long, you know, a little Under Armour with your polo.
That's why I wear shooter sleeves under all my clothes, because I kind of don't want to reveal the yats.
But that's the weird part about Italy the other weird part, like so many people now have tattoos that, you know, you would hear about when people get like a hand tattoo or a neck tattoo, and they would call that like the job ruiner.
The job stopper.
And that was a real thing that happened back in the day. And now, you know, because the workforce is crumbling, the destruction of the middle class, nobody so like you have no other choice but to hire people who have neck tats at the hotel where it's $1,500 a night.
No one wants a job. And the only people that need them are people that need to afford tattoos because they've gotten so expensive.
I'm just saying, I think it's funny because back in our day, that decision to get a tattoo on your neck or on your hands was one of the most insane decisions you would ever make in your life. It was only reserved for the person in your friend group who was like, I plan to either die in the next 5 years or spend the rest of my life in jail, or I'm going to sell drugs, or whatever it is.
Well, or
I live a life of crime.
And also just, I mean,
unless I'm a tattoo artist.
Yeah, that's the only people.
Or a barber, I guess.
But I would always hear about tattoo artists, like back in the day, they would say no to stuff like that.
All the time.
Like, they're like, I don't do that. I don't do hands, necks, or faces. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
I'm good. And now I feel like the demand for face, neck, and hand is higher than any other part of the body.
I see so many people who have hand tats before they have arm tats, or a face tat before they get a neck tat or a chest tat.
It really is insane. I mean, I still think there's parts of society that will keep you out if you have a face tat.
Yeah, of course.
But it ain't the mall or the health food store.
But it was just so it's so funny to I was at the hotel and you would see these people and everyone is so well behaved and well mannered and like, hello, Mr. Stewart, welcome to coming here and blah blah blah. And you know, like, would you like another glass of champagne? Would you like another blah, blah, blah? And it's just the best service of all time. And then the motherfucker turns around. He's got an upside down cross tattooed on the side of his neck. And I'm like,
Italy is one of the most fascinating places in the world because of the absolute, like, the amount of natural beauty.
Yeah.
Mixed with the worst taste that people could possibly have.
They shouldn't have never let Italians get a tattoo gun.
Honestly, Italians should have to wear uniforms and not be allowed to get yats.
Italian people have two kinds of tattoos. You either get the very, very expensive, well done, detailed sleeve, forearm sleeve of a grandfather clock that's kind of moving around with the gears twisting all around.
Kind of like a it's Alice in Wonderland style.
It's a black and gray Alice in Wonderland meets so Harry Potter.
But it's just the forearm.
It's only the forearm. It's always black and gray, and it's always just a very, you know, the gears are all twisting and turning.
Easy,
and
it's easy to show off.
The hands of time are moving.
The skin tight D squared polo. You know, it stops right at the bicep, so you can fully see the forearm.
So you either have that tattoo, or the other tattoo is just like your friend drew like a lion on your hand.
Yeah,
at like, you know, like drunk in his living room, and now you have that.
I
saw the I saw one good Italian tattoo. We were at this restaurant eating lunch, and it was like, you know, a nice Italian restaurant eating pasta. There's kind of rich people everywhere around, bottles of wine, and these four construction worker guys come in. All smoking cigs. They're wearing, you know, shorts, and their clothes are covered in dirt because they've been like working and stuff. And they basically got like the center table. They knew all the employees, and they sat down. They're smoking. They're watching TikToks on their phone at full volume. All four of them, and all the other people are looking at each other like, "Is this really happening? Like, what the fuck's going on?" And they all have the nastiest like gang tattoos, like face tattoos, neck tattoos. They're a rough bunch. You know what I mean? Like, they're the kind of people who are going to disrupt any situation.
Sure.
A fancy restaurant or a McDonald's. It's going to be like, ugh. And I look at this one guy, the back of his arm has a perfectly very well done tattoo of Theodore from Alvin and the Chipmunks. I think, I don't know, the one who wears green.
Yeah. I think it's Theodore.
Theodore from Alvin and the Chipmunks. Just like, if you Google Theodore from Alvin and the Chipmunks, the first thing that pops up is just a picture of him like standing there smiling with a thumbs up or whatever, like the most classic. And that was the only tattoo that he had on his arm, was just like a seven inch, perfectly well done Theodore from Alvin and the Chipmunks.
The best way to learn a language? Immersion, living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way, and that's with Babbel. 1 in 5 Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off your list with Babbel.
Chris and I are going to the country of Georgia in a month or so, and they have a very unique language, and I will be using Babbel to try and just get a little bit of action so I can know how to order my cold brew lattes and things like that in a way that's actually science-based. Don't spend hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Use Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons. They're handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new lingo in as little as 3 weeks.
Here's a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/howlong. Get 55% off at babbel.com/howlong, spelled babbel.com/howlong. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Babbel.
Do you think his granddad's name is like Theodore or something? There must be some deeper symbolism that I love Alvin and the
Hopefully
Chipmunks.
Hopefully it's his like gang nickname, but it was so good that I was sizing them all up, and I was like, how do I get a photo of this? How do I approach the bench and say, hey,
it's not worth
sorry
it.
To disrupt, and I show up with, you know, I'm tatted up too, bros. You know, I have all my shit. I love your Theodore tattoo. Can I get a quick 3-second boomerang for my reels? I do a lot of reels.
You describing reels first to the construction workers. So reels is the best part. He would
TikTok on Instagram. Oh yeah, in a video.
Short form video.
So and it was one of the. It made me feel like I was doing a TikTok where I was like, hey man, that's a really nice tattoo. Can I ask what you do for a living?
Oh yeah, yeah. Hey, I love your tattoo. How much money do you make?
that was the vibe. But yeah, Hotel Il Pelicano, holy shit. Dream come true hotel.
I love you just kind of easing in. I feel like right now in your life, in the TJ journey into luxury, we're probably still just waist deep, maybe even hog deep.
No, not even. I'm knee deep.
And I'm just, I love you exploring and discovering how you should be living as a mid-tier podcaster.
Yeah.
And it's heartwarming, honestly.
I found the richest guy there because of his wife. His wife, like an older woman, tons of gold jewelry, gold Rolex on. You know, she smelled like the, what's the scent that smells like paper? You know what I'm talking about?
No.
It's like a very strong, pungent smell.
It smells like paper.
And I was like, fuck, what is that smell? And Carolyn was like, oh, it's like a sort of infamous fragrance that smells, is supposed to smell like paper. Anyways, just like signaling rich ass house. She was talking to some British people and they were, you know, they were loving her and like, oh, we've got to come to America and hang out with you in Washington, D.C.
I love Washington. It seems that there's lots of monuments there.
These posh motherfuckers and they're talking about Washington, D.C. and her husband is a politician named John.
They're all named John.
Old guy, you know, just a total, he looks like a Kennedy, but he's like old, tall, skinny, you know, he's probably 80 years old. And I remember she was telling the British people, she's like, yeah, you know, we normally don't eat breakfast. I normally just have a pineapple smoothie every morning for breakfast, but pineapples. I went down to the buffet down there and they have the burritos with the tomato. I just couldn't resist. And then one of the British guys goes, do you mean burrata? And she's like, yeah, the cheese. It's so good.
I've never heard anyone make that mistake before.
And this is a woman, a worldly woman.
She's been exposed to burrata before.
Yeah, they have houses in multiple countries. Like, sure. You know, she's a worldly woman, but she keeps talking about her husband, who's like this politician or whatever. And then I see the husband finally at brunch and Carolyn and I are talking to each other and, you know, like, oh, we're booking our flight to go to New York next month. And she's like, well, do you want to book it or do you want me to book it? And I was like, you book it. And then they started laughing at us. And then she's like, I'm so sorry for eavesdropping, but we do the same thing. We always just, I just do everything and he just kind of doesn't do, you know, like you guys are just like us, you know, like the young couple, blah, blah, blah. And then I see him go out in the morning. He's the first one down in the water. He takes all his clothes off and jumps straight into the ocean, freezing cold. And I'm like, all right, now's my chance. And I follow him out there.
He thinks you're coming in for a hand job, but you just want to talk. hey, I just want to talk.
He goes out there and I go out there and we're both floating and we just kind of start talking. You know, I go into gold digger mode. I find the biggest whale in the sea and I go after him, just you and me out here.
You got the harpoon in the ocean.
Over here in the sea. And, you know, we just start, you know, if it was a couple degrees colder, I probably couldn't handle it. You know, we were up in Cinque Terre, so about, you know, 75 mile clicks up the coast up there. And, you know, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's so crazy. Yeah, that's awesome. Anyways, I'm Jason. So, but we broke down. So, you know, if I ever need a place to stay in D.C.
They have a wing for you.
If I need a lobbyist to lobby something for me, we're bros.
I'm glad that you're making friends with the beauty of watching you kind of ascent into a higher caliber lifestyle is that all your bullshit small talking that used to be with like employees at Vons has now moved up to guys that are paying $3,000 a night for the suite at Il Pelicano and you're in the ocean with them hog out. Because before your small talk, it's not gonna get you anywhere, you know. They're not gonna look they might look the other way when you shoplift some tomatoes, but other than that, it's not gonna really get anywhere. But this could actually get you somewhere, so I support it now.
Well, I think the difference is a lot of the people who are living that Playboy lifestyle, staying at these hotels that are super expensive, for the most part, are people who sort of have generational wealth. They sort of live this cushy, comfortable lifestyle, and they've been traveling with their families to these resorts their entire life. And it seems sort of natural, and it just happens. And then when they see people who, like me, who appear to maybe have had to grind for this view.
That's what they said. Honey, I met this sweet young man who had to grind for this view today.
I met a lovely couple who came up out of the mud, and now they're on...
I met these lovely people. They're from a place called Glendale, and they have gotten it out of the mud, sweetheart. It's crazy.
But that's the only time where you can sort of get respect or even adoration when the playing level has been leveled and it's like, we're both here, you know, trust me, at the top, it isn't lonely. We're both at the top, but, you know, a stork, you know, a drone came and placed you here yeah. on a lovely mattress. And you've been there, and I climbed up.
Yeah, you really.
I bouldered up to get here, and then suddenly, who's the bitch now? You know what I mean?
You're still the bitch. Don't get it twisted. You're still the bitch.
But I'm over. You know, I'm blowing cigs. I'm the only one who's smoking, and I'm like, yeah, I'm over yeah. here, dick out, smoking cigs. I'm reading Emma Klein like a fucking boss.
Yeah, sure. This guy went to Harvard, and you DJ with Steve Aoki, and you guys are at the same hotel. So I guess who's to say
who's
worked harder?
I met a 5-year-old girl who's more well traveled and more higher IQ level than me. It's weird to see how the other half really lives, like the other half, where it, like, that's the one time where I had a little bit, like, I guess grinder's remorse, where it's like, I'm so proud of myself from going from the bottom to where I am now, like, great job, that's so awesome. But then when you are placed in the same echelon of people where they, you know, people, you know, you started on third base or something, sure. as they say. But when you see like a 5-year-old who's on 5,000th base,
yes,
you're like, wow, like you're so far advanced in the race. Like what is all you can do is fuck it up, which is usually what happens.
Well,
like
look,
you either get
this 5-year-old
a drug problem or whatever, you know?
Yeah, this 5-year-old's going to go to the boarding school, is going to continue. She's going to get popped for a little coke. She's yeah. going to do rehab from 16 to 16 and a half, get out. Her life will continue. Unfortunately, her husband will be a 6, but he yeah. does have a great job at Merrill Lynch, and they'll just kind of do the thing, man.
I know.
They fuck up so early, though, that it's kind of, I think it's the best case scenario.
Yeah, I mean,
what choice do you have?
It just makes me feel I feel a little sympathy for them, because you see them when they're in that young stage.
Yeah,
I've talked to my therapist about this a lot, but like the transition of when you're like, when you become an adult is when you like see how the world really works, and you sort of see the dark side of the world, and you see there are bad things in the world. But when you're like a 5-year-old person and your life has just been a storybook dream, and then at some point when the harsh reality of the world comes, it hits you so hard that, I mean, you just look at any celebrity's 13-year-old daughter or son.
Don't talk about Landon like this. He's a great drummer.
I mean, you just like, here's... Blob, you know,
no,
here's
no,
this
know.
A-list celebrity with their 16-year-old
celebrity,
and their 13-year-old son or whatever.
Celebrity makes it worse, too,
and
than being just rich.
And you can just look in their eyes that their life was so good, and then they saw, like, oh, I get fat at some point,
yeah.
or, oh, drugs will kill me, or, oh, I'm autistic. Whatever ailments that you can get, they smack you so hard.
For sure.
And But I came out, and I got smacked day one. Real street life. So I'm like, anything
it's all
movement
up from
forward,
here.
Yeah, it's all up from here.
It's all up from here.
So I guess it, but that's the other problem, is you don't realize that until you're at the end of your life. You finally figure out exactly how to live your life the day before you fucking die.
That's why I wake up every day, I look in the mirror, and I say, ready to die, baby, because it's I got all the lessons in this bitch, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you have 40 years of lessons in this bitch. Just admit, you're going to be twice as smart when you're 80.
I'm not going to be twice as smart. I'm going to be twice as world weary and experienced, which
world
is
weary.
A certain kind of smart, I guess. Like a street smart, as you might say.
That's the other problem. Once you finally learn the code of the streets, you're too weak to pull the strap.
It's true.
Another.
My parents didn't teach me the code of the streets, and it's kind of a problem in our relationship. And I've brought that up with them, and they don't really know how to cope.
It's better if you had to learn. My mommy didn't teach me the code of the streets either. I had to teach her. And she said, Jason, I don't want
to
do
that. I'm going to go upstairs and talk to your mom about this right now. I'm going to say, excuse me, ma'am. You didn't teach your sons the code of the streets?
Not a one.
She
I had
looks
to learn,
up from her iPad. What the fuck is the code of the streets?
These scars?
Is that a video game?
God. I think I rented that at Blockbuster for you. Shout out to a friend of the show, Padma. Pulling the plug.
Oh,
my top. She has got a lot of time to podcast now. So
she's your top chef, am I right?
You know, I mean, it's so weird that 20 years, like I remember episode one of Top Chef, I was like, this is the best show I've ever seen.
Yo, hold on, bro. Hold on. Bro. You're saying she can cook too?
I mean, a beautiful, elegant woman.
I didn't know Top Chef. I remember, Top Chef was a big moment in culture, obviously. And it was, I used to watch it too, just because it was like the big, it was kind of the biggest show on TV for a little while in some ways. Shout out to my friend, Tom Colicchio. Love you, bro.
Bald Kings Unite.
Tom, I love you, bro. I hit Kraft every week, you know? But Padma, it's funny when people that feel that famous, like, do the thing that they kind of got famous for as long as she did. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah. This
most people
out.
Don't. It's like being on Grey's Anatomy. It's like, all right, 12th season, I got to bow out, you mm-hmm. know?
Yeah.
So making it 20 years is crazy.
And then she'll probably bop back in Samantha Jones style.
I bet she's not, but I bet she's not. I mean, I bet she got a giant check.
Of course. What up, Decatur Dan? You need to take your ass on out of here. Are you doing BTS of us? Damn, this is really how the sausage is made. So yeah, this is this was Carolyn's idea. I was like, okay, so we're taking a week off. We're gonna record the Andy episode, which my mom said she listened to. She's like, I usually don't listen to the pod, but I listened to the Andy Cohen.
I thought your mom did listen.
She'll never tell me the full truth.
That's the thing. You'll never get the full story.
If I ask her, like, hey, do you listen to the podcast? She'll say, well, you told me not to listen. But I fucking know she listens. God damn it. And my brother was like, just let her listen. I'm like, I haven't blocked it on her Spotify.
You go into all your mom's devices and block How Long Gone from Spotify.
Like she has a computer and a phone and an iPad. She can easily pull it up. But that's more of me just saying like, hey, this is going to happen whether you like it or not. But we were like, okay, we're going to leave tomorrow. The honeymoon starts tomorrow. And then let's record a pod after, because I'm going to take a week off again.
Yeah.
And then Carolyn was like, no, morning of. Morning, wedding day.
We're only a couple hours from the nuptials.
Yeah, I still haven't even showered.
You don't shower that much, so it's not that big of a deal.
I shower daily, bitch.
But how are you feeling mentally?
I was really stressed out because of the music, because it ended up taking so much longer than I thought it was going
to
take.
You seemed a little out of sorts, I have to be honest. I was going to intervene, but I didn't want to cause you more problems.
No, I was very out of sorts. I was like, I was stressed out because I was like, okay, I have to make a 4-hour mix. How long could it really take? And it ended up taking weeks.
How long could it really take? Well, I found out it actually takes about 2 weeks total.
But, I've always had a problem with time management. I've always had a procrastination problem.
Yeah.
And it's like the way that it only works for me is to just work my way up to the point where, like, all right, you have 1 hour to do this.
You have to finish.
It has to happen.
Yeah.
And for me, that's the only way that it gets done. And sometimes that's actually a really good thing, because like a unique thing happens organically. But most of the time it's like, oh, well.
Most of the time it's bad.
You fucked up. And if I did it the right way, it would have been so much better. But I've sort, you know, like I said before, I'm halfway through my life. And now if I'm still like this, it's pretty much baked in.
Yeah, this is baked in. This is who you are. I'm a tropical dial. I just felt like...
only getting browner.
After doing 23andMe, you're only getting browner. I thought that I was a little worried about you, but then I realized that this is a, you know, even though this is an intimate group, it's still, you know, a whole thing.
Yeah. Well, the problem is, you know, it would be the same thing as if I was like cooking the food for my wedding.
Yeah.
Because it's whether it is or not, I've put it in my head that this is the most important DJ mix of my entire life. I've made 100 DJ mixes in my life. Shout out soundcloud.com/themjeans. I've made hundreds of DJ mixes. I've DJed 1,000 times. These are all songs that I've played a zillion, billion times. But for some reason now, because it's my wedding and it's only for me, I'm the only person who's going to be critical of it.
No, I will be. Don't worry. If I hear Calvin Harris come in the wrong place, we're going to have a problem.
And when you're DJing live, it's like, all right, I'm playing this song. And then you're looking in your playlist and you're like, okay, this song will probably sound good after it.
Yeah.
You know, the crowd is this level.
You're reacting
of energy.
Just to energy too. It's like a different.
Yeah. So now the problem is I have enough. I have all the time in the world to find what that perfect song is. When
you
I'm
need
DJing,
the pressure.
I have 90 seconds to pick the next song. And now I have infinity minutes to pick the next perfect
song. So
you
have infinity minutes and you still went with Tame Impala. I don't know. I mean, that's something we could talk about later.
So it's one of those things where it's like you just have to do it and do it. And it just takes as long as it's going to take. And we finally made it. I exported it. And it is here and it exists. And only 35 people are going to hear it. They're going to be blacked out when it happens.
That being said, if you do want this mix, you can Venmo Chris Black just $100 and I'll kind of...
No. Add a zero to that.
Okay, $1,000. Venmo me $1,000 and I'll take my 20%. Jason will get the rest and you'll get access to this mix. You can play it as many times as you want. It's not watermarked. If we do find out you're using it for public consumption, we will come after you legally.
Mm-hmm.
But you can listen to it in your AirPods, your Beats by Dre Studio Pods, your Apple AirPod Pros, even your laptop speakers.
And this could be a new service that I'm offering because, you know, you can't afford to have them jeans DJ your wedding, most likely.
No.
I mean, if we're factoring plus, you know what I mean? But so if you don't have...
Sure, if you don't have the cash.
If you don't have 40 large lying around for Big TT to come through and wet the crowd, you know, give me... 85 hundo.
He can do a 4-hour mix, no problem.
And the songs you want to play, and I will make them sing in a way that your wedding DJ that you can afford will never be able to do.
It's just not possible. It's just not possible.
And plus, you get to tell your grandkids that this MP3 was handcrafted.
This digital file was architected by them jeans.
I mean... Is there a price?
I don't. I mean, that's the thing. 85 seems low. 40 seems a little high. So there is a price, but it's somewhere in between for me. But we can negotiate later.
You can try to funge it, but it's non-fungible.
I think you bit off more than you could chew at the playlist, but the relief that I'm seeing in your face from the completion. Pause.
And the Ativan.
Oh, okay. That has something to do with it. But I'm ready to kind of get this thing moving. I've had enough, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I was saying, like, it's a feeling where it's so much stress and so much building energy for the wedding and so much preparation and all this stuff. And you don't want to say, I can't wait for it to be over, but you really can't wait for it to be over because it's just like, it's the roller coaster has been going... clicking up to the top.
A classic wood coaster all the way.
A classic wood roller colossus at Six Flags. Yes, yes. Unfortunately, it did burn down. But at the... Oof, metaphor for life.
I was about to say.
You're basically... So that... And it keeps clicking up and up. And at a certain point, you're looking down and you're like, I can't see my car anymore. People look like ants. This is... We gotta go down. And we're finally at that point where it's time to go down. And then the best, like, I don't want to feel the rush of the roller coaster. I want to feel my feet back on the asphalt.
Mm-hmm. And then, by asphalt, you mean like a rock beach in some shit town in Italy after this thing's all over?
No, bitch, I'm at Lake Como. Suck my dick.
Okay, congratulations. I can't tell. Carolyn makes you go to the far reaches of this little boot-shaped country, so I never know with you. I never know.
I know. No, we're going to Modena. We're going to be able to eat some pasta from... Massimo Bottura.
Oh wow!
Hopefully we're gonna take a tour of the Parmigiano Reggiano warehouse. I'm going to touch the cheese.
Hold on, you're saying to me that you want to do on your honeymoon is look at a warehouse full of cheese.
What else is there to do?
Good point.
I mean, unless you're in a coastal city, it's pretty much just like eat pasta, look at pasta,
look at pasta. I can eat it or I can just look at it, whatever we got time for.
Eat pasta, look at pasta. I watch tennis on television. That's the best part about Italy.
Yeah, they got
Italy.
French Open on every channel on this motherfucker.
There's dedicated tennis television channels in every region of Italy, Sicily, you name it. So that is a great part about it. But I have not watched Succession finale yet.
Oh my God.
And so yeah, think about the sacrifices that I've made.
I can't believe this. So okay,
unfortunately, because I look at Twitter, I sort of can piece the entire thing together.
The results.
And I've been trying to not look when I see something pop up. I try to look away. But I know that somebody is CEO. I know that cousin Greg, my doppelganger, makes a salary of $200,000 a year, and I don't know what that means.
It seems low, but I don't know what he does.
He's basically like an intern underling.
Okay, 200 is good then.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the real question that I'm looking to get to the bottom of before we head off to the pool.
Yeah.
How much crying are we doing tonight?
Me or we?
You.
A lot of crying. A lot of crying. I just realized I still have to write my vows and my speech.
Discovering that you're a crier is something I didn't expect. And I like it for you.
Oh, yeah. I get wet.
I can't.
I squirt.
I don't know what would make me cry at this stage.
The right song at the right moment makes people cry.
Yeah, that's probably true. Music is the only thing that moves me. So that's possible.
Unfortunately, the music, I don't know if any of this music is going to move you to tears, but at a wedding, when you're giving the speeches, you're going to give a speech.
Yeah, but I'm not really going kind of the emotional route. That's not my beat.
Right. And everyone has, you know, some people are this is for, I'm trying to be funny. I'm trying to be cryy. You know, you want to evoke.
Or if it's a woman, it's, I want to tell stories that no one gets that last about 12, 13 minutes.
We all know women should not give speeches. At a wedding.
You know, the thing is, I've done a lot of research on women giving speeches. Women agree women shouldn't give speeches. At weddings.
I had a good bit about it too, and I totally
forgot.
It's,
I've seen some speeches that are literally like, every story starts and then stops because they're like, oh, I can't tell in front of 500 people.
Yeah. Obviously I'm joking about that. I've seen women give great speeches. That was a full joke, but I haven't. What I think about yeah, it, but
I was about to say, I can't say that. No, but
it'll be a meandering of just like, we'll always remember. And Cabo and Stephanie knows what happened.
Yeah, it's always Stephanie knows what happens.
And remember that one time and you and I had to help. Remember when I had to help you with that thing?
Actually, this is maybe because I was going back and forth on the tone.
We were in the car and then that. You remember that?
I was worrying about the tone of my speech. I think I should just go into character and do a speech like that. What if I just did 10 minutes of never saying anything?
When we went... It was so, you guys, it was so crazy when that happened.
And don't forget, like, I mean, we lived together for like years. You remember how small
we were?
Apartment
we were
was?
Like all there. We were all there. And it was like so crazy.
Honestly, you're like a sister.
And when your little brother died, I was like, you're gonna be okay. You remember that? And then at that point, then the aunt grabs her arm, her like loosely kind of grabs the elbow and is like, okay, we're gonna kind of.
I'm gonna, don't worry, as a non-drinker tonight, I'll be ready to escort anyone off the stage that kind of needs to get bounced. And if I go too far, no one can stop me. So if you want to give me that look, I won't respond to that.
Oh, I brought an Italian flag mag light and I'll give you the. Like we're at the store.
You give the Italian DJ the hook to kind of drag me off by my hips.
Yeah, he'll play the Showtime at the Apollo walk 'em off song. All right. That's it. I have to go.
How long gone? Live from Tuscany. Congratulations, Jason, Carolyn. We love you guys. I'm very happy to be here. I'm glad you got all your work done, and it wasn't even work that I forced you to do, which is nice. In a little bit of housekeeping business, How Long Gone London, first night, August 4th, sold out. August 5th, on sale now. Get those tickets. Australia tickets are still on sale. And I guess that's really it for now. We're going to be doing something very special in New York, but it's invite only, so I don't really want to talk about it.
Just quite yet.
We'll go celebrate love in all its many ways. I don't like to celebrate heterosexual love very often, but because Jason is during Pride Month, I really try to gay bait only. But unfortunately, Jason has kind of stuck this right in the first weekend.
Damn, I just realized I need to work Pride into my speech tonight. All right. How Long Gone? We love you guys. Thank you so much for letting me take time off from our breakneck podcasting schedule.
Say thank you to me, not to them.
And thank you to Chris for allowing me to allowing me to podcast at my wedding day.
This was your idea. I mean, I would have podcasted the whole time, but you...
I know. But yeah, that's all. And we'll be back next week with back to our regularly scheduled program.
Regular scheduled program.
We have a beautiful authoress coming back.
Yeah, thank you guys so much.
Bye-bye.
Later.
Thank you, everybody. Good night.